Holy Spirit. Amen. So the National Social Anxiety Center recently wrote an article just tapping into the different fears socially that people experience. Ranked at number one, the highest fear of Americans came in at public speaking, 73%. I don't have that problem. Don't give me a microphone. I can talk all day. I'm not fearful of that, right? Some of us are. We're, you know, that's a big fear for some of us. Number two, ranked in at 68% for Americans. Second fear is death. Number three, spiders. Hate spiders, can't stand them. 55% of Americans are deathly afraid of spiders. And number four, heights, ladders, being a high distance. So 50% of Americans say that's one of my biggest fears. Three out of the four, we can avoid. I don't ever have to take a public speaking class if I don't want to publicly speak. I can never get on, to climb a ladder if I don't want to. I can choose to not face that fear. Number three, spiders, right? There's a spider, I can run away from it, I don't have to deal with it. But the second fear of all Americans is death. And brothers and sisters, we can't avoid it. This is not meant to be a morbid, scary homily, right? This is a reality, right? That death is not a choice, right? It's a reality. I can avoid it as much as possible, these other three things, but when it comes to death, it is something that we're constantly fearful of, but we do have to face it. We need to take a look at it and say, this is a reality. Unfortunately, it's the only thing in life that is certain. Nothing else. Nothing else in this world is certain. Death, 1,000%, we will all die. And so, as Catholics, we come together, we don't have to fear dying. We don't have to fear death because Jesus Christ conquered death. We should be deathly afraid of death, if I can say that, if Jesus did not conquer death, because our only destination would have been hell. If Jesus didn't die for our sins, we would never could have been united to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit after we passed away. Never. He had to come into this world to save us. He conquered death. So we're able to say to death, sure, it's okay to enjoy our lives. It's okay to want to live. But we don't have to be fearful of it. 68% of Americans have anxiety. This fear of the future. Is something bad going to happen? Is God going to punish me? Oh my God, I called my sibling, my spouse. They didn't answer. They're in a ditch somewhere. They died. This is not freedom. Right, as Christians, we say we are an Easter people. We're still in the Easter season. So to say we're an Easter people means every day is Easter. Every day we live in freedom. Sure, it's normal to have fear. I'm not saying that. I mean, Jesus sweat blood before he approached his death. But it's not okay to be paralyzed with fear, to be in a constant panic when it comes to death. That's not freedom. All of our days are going to pass us by. And this life was no fun. There was no joy. There was no excitement. That's not freedom. It's not Christianity. But again, Jesus Christ has conquered death. By him resurrecting from the dead, the gates of heaven are open. And that's something we can really appreciate and be happy about. Jesus says in today's gospel, he gives us the greatest news in today's gospel. In today's gospel, he says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Basically, don't have fear. So he's talking to us today. Do not let your hearts be troubled. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places, many rooms. If this were not so, what I have told you, that I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back again and take you there myself. At every funeral, I read this scripture, I use this gospel, and I say, I know everybody is sad, somebody here has passed away, and I know everybody is sad, but I have good news for you today. And you probably think, this priest, what's wrong with this priest? How can he say anything is good about today? The good news for everybody today is what I tell them at the funeral. There is life after death. It doesn't end here. A place where there's no cancer, no viruses, no suffering, no anxiety, no depression, no suicidal thoughts, none of that. None of that. And that's good news. That's what it means to be a resurrected people. We face death to its face and say, my God says it doesn't end here. That's why I feel bad for atheists. That's why I feel bad for people who say it just ends here. What a miserable way to live. Right? What a miserable way to live. And that's the good news about death. So three questions I'm just going to leave ourselves, I'm going to leave you guys with, and I have to think about these questions as well. Three questions we ask ourselves to determine, do I really want heaven? The truth is, Jesus Christ, by dying on the cross, the gates of heaven are open for every single one of us. That is the good news. The bad news is not everybody's going to choose those gates to be open. Jesus Christ died, literally, it caused him. His death on the cross was for our salvation. So to say, yeah, I want heaven, kind of. Sweat, blood, tears, it caused Jesus that for us to get to heaven. He doesn't want one soul to go to hell. But we have to choose it. We have to say, I want heaven. I need to live in that freedom. I want my salvation that my Lord Jesus Christ worked for. Because for some reason today, brothers and sisters, we think everyone's going to heaven. Oh, they were a good person. They're going to heaven. So that's become our standard as Christians. Be a good person? That's how low we've made the bar? No. We have the... And God is not looking for perfection. There's two extremes. Everybody's getting to heaven, and the other extreme is I'm not going to heaven. We're looking in the spiritual life for progress, not perfection. Am I making progress in the spiritual life? Do I want heaven? Don't lie to yourself. I have to ask myself this. I could lie to myself and say, I want heaven. Three questions. Internal inventory today, do I want heaven? Question number one, have I chosen to get to heaven after my life on earth ends? That's a choice I have to make. Right, again, although the gates of heaven are open, God cannot force anybody into that room with your name and my name on it. He can't say, welcome home, here you go. If we don't want God now while we're on earth, if we don't want Jesus now while we're on earth, we don't want heaven. We don't want heaven. Heaven is not for those who merely believe in God, but for those who choose heaven and actually want to go. I want to go to heaven. I'm confident, not out of pride, but out of what He's done. I can't earn heaven. He has done it. He has paid the price. But I have to choose it. Jesus, I want that. Help me to live out this life and any sins that get in the way or prevent me from getting there. We have to make a choice. If I don't find joy in Jesus now, I will hate heaven because He's the only joy in heaven. Oh, I'm bored at Mass. Oh, at the Adoration Chapel, I'm in there for a minute or two. I gotta go. I'm not saying you gotta jump up and down every time you're in the Adoration Chapel. But if I can't find some joy, this inner peace while I'm in His presence, I'll hate heaven. There is no other joy in heaven besides Jesus. If I don't make Him a part of my life now, today, I will hate heaven because there is no other life in heaven besides Jesus. So that's the first question. Am I making a conscious choice? I want heaven, Jesus. You worked too hard for my salvation. I want what You worked so hard for, blood, sweat, and tears. Help me to obtain that, number one. Number two, does my life look differently here on earth in comparison to the rest of the world? The devil's in charge of the world. If I look like the world, I don't want heaven. Plain and simple. Very plain and simple. Those who claim to be followers of Jesus, our lives should look somewhat different than the people that I work with who are not Christians. If I just blend right in, I don't want heaven. And I'm not saying, you know, I'm not sitting, be awkward and weird. You're sitting amongst people at work and you know, and you have to preach Jesus every second and that's how you prove you want heaven. No, if it's natural, I want heaven and I have a relationship with Jesus, naturally it just comes out. Like, just naturally in how I behave. Versus always correcting the people around me. You know, there's that quote, you might be the only Bible that somebody reads based on our actions. If I act poorly and the people around me are like, that's what it means to be a Christian? We're Father, Son, and Holy Spirit on Sundays and then we're acting a hot mess on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And then we come back and we praise the Lord and our hands are in the air. And we believe in God, the Father Almighty. That's not heaven. If I just blend in with my friend group, I worship God on Sundays, And as soon as I leave those doors, I'm a totally different person. I look like my friends who don't go to Mass, and I speak like my friends who don't go to Mass, and I behave like them, and I party like them. I don't want heaven. There is something in the world, and I've mentioned this before, Pope John Paul II and Pope Benedict called something called practical atheism. What practical atheism is although I go to church on Sunday and I profess that Jesus is my Lord and Savior, my life doesn't look any different. I'm practically an atheist. We can come here all day and do lip service. I can come up here all day and I can preach to you Jesus and the Catholic Church, and then my life as a priest looks no different. I'm practically an atheist. When I'm with certain friends, do I conform my Christianity and I start again speaking like them and I don't defend my faith and I just let them walk all over my faith? And what is that all about? That's the second question. And the final question, do I give my time generously to Jesus here on earth? Love is spelled T-I-M-E. If I love somebody, I give them my time beyond Sunday coming to Mass. If I'm not changing my schedule, one other time at least throughout the week outside of Sunday to get closer to Jesus because I love him and he died for me and opened up the gates of heaven, I don't want heaven. We make time for a lot of things. Instagram and TikTok, and we scroll. We're professional scrollers. I can get caught up in that trap too. We don't want to scroll our Bible. We don't want to scroll other things that are going to really help me to fall in love with Jesus. Well, Father, I think of Jesus a lot. Love is an action. It's not a thought. It doesn't require a lot to think. If I love, it's an action. My calendar proves it. My calendar proves it. So do I give my time generously to Jesus here on earth? At every funeral, I end with this story. It's a very short story, and I'm going to say it to you right now. A wife was diagnosed with cancer and given a short time to live. Her husband couldn't help but realize how she began to live each day with great clarity and love as she approached the end of her life. When the end of his wife's time to live was nearing, he finally gained the courage to ask her one final question. He knew she was going to be passing soon. His final question to his wife was this: what does it feel like to live each day knowing you are dying? And this could be your last breath. In her final words, she responded, "My love, what does it feel like to live each day pretending that you are not dying?" Brothers and sisters, don't pretend we are not dying. That's a reality. We don't have to be afraid. We are resurrected people. There is life after death. But let us stop hitting the snooze button, and I'll get to that later, this heaven thing or that Jesus thing. So today's the day to bring all that we want from Jesus, which is that room that he promised us in heaven. Amen.